The sutta selected for this week is the Anissa Samsa Sutta. It's taken from the Anguttara Nikaya 6.7 and is translated by Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi. Dhamma friends, I invite you to read along with me. Because there are these six benefits in realizing the fruit of stream entry. What six? One is fixed in the good Dharma. Two, one is incapable of decline. Three, one's suffering is eliminated. Four, one comes to possess knowledge not shared by others. Five, one has clearly seen causation. Six, one has clearly seen causally arisen phenomena. These are the six benefits in realizing the fruits of stream entry. And this is again translated by Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi. Now we invite Bhante to elaborate on this sutta. Bhante, please.
Friends, the Buddha is known as the awakened one. He is the one who awakened from the deep sleep of ignorance in the known history to mankind in the last 2500 years. He is also the one who awakened the others from the sleep of ignorance. So Buddha is known as awakened one for these two reasons. One who is awakened from the sleep of ignorance, and also the one who awakened the others from the sleep of ignorance. Now, the awakening from the sleep of ignorance can happen in four stages. These four stages are known as four awakening stages. The first stage is the stream entry, sotapanna, enter to the Noble Eightfold Path. The stream that leads to the enlightenment. When someone awakens for the first time from the sleep of ignorance, he discards three fetters. These three fetters are known as identity view, sakkaya ditti, second, vichikicca, doubt, third, silabbata paramasa, clinging to wrong rites and rituals, clinging to moral precepts, thinking that they alone can lead to enlightenment. As the Buddha mentions in Ratana Sutta, Saha vassa dassana sampadaya tayassu dhamma jahita bhavanti. The moment of this awakening to the supreme truth, here it refers to the Four Noble Truths, at that very moment of awakening, tayassu dhamma jahita bhavanti. Three grosser types of roots, defilements or fetters, completely destroyed. Sakkaya ditti vichikicchitañca silabbataṃ vāpi adatti kiñci. These are the three. Sakkaya ditti means grasping this psychophysical forces as permanent, everlasting. Ordinary human beings, we by nature has very strong grasping of our own body and mind, and we tend to strongly believe that there is I, me, or myself. Or in other terms, we strongly believe there is something called soul or self, which does not undergo any kind of changes over the time and space. This happens because of ignorance. We do not see things as they are. We cannot see the true nature of our body and mind. Yes, literally we know body change. Literally we know mind is changing. But even though we know them as literally, but we do not realize when it happens, or we are not mindful about it, or it is not our inner nature to be aware about it. So ordinary human beings, every time when we come across outside world, we react to the world. And when we react to the world, in our mind, we react as I, me, and mine. But in the true reality, there is no such entity that undergo time and space, which remain forever, which goes from life to life. However, you should not misunderstand here, Buddhism deny the existence of I, me, and mine as ordinary concept. Of course, as ordinary human beings, we always refer I, me, and mine. This is ordinarily understood. There's nothing wrong about it. So, of course, we have to refer I, me, and mine in ordinary sense of the word. But what has happened in deep psychologically and human beings, we have this concept deep rooted, and with that we cling to the world. So, from the moment of awakening, this disappears. It does not mean awakened human being for the first stage does not refer to themselves as I, me, or mine. It does not mean that they do not communicate with other people with referring I, me, and mine. It does not mean that they reject I, me, and my concept. But what happens, since they see and know by themselves, this I, me, and mine is only convenient term, and we all are changing. What they are seeing is impermanent, changing, fleeting nature of the five aggregates of clinging. So even though they communicate with other human beings, and even though they eat, drink, and they merry make or whatsoever, this is the first stage. So the a human being in the first stage still can enjoy sensual pleasure and can live with ordinary human beings. There's no any restrictions, and even can get married and have children. This is first stage. First stage does not mean that he is completely free from the defilements. So there can be many human beings as ordinary lay followers of the Buddha who are awakened to the first stage. But they do not have that gross clinging of I, me, and mine in a grosser level. And they do not have any belief that there is a soul. So this completely disappears the moment you see the Dhamma. So when you awaken to the first stage, and this most fundamental, formidable barrier for spiritual growth will disappear. The second defilement or second fetter that disappears is doubt. You will not have any more doubt about the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. As ordinary human being, we might have doubt about the Buddha. Is he truly enlightened? Is Dhamma truly leading to enlightenment? Are there truly Sangha members who are truly enlightened? We might have doubts. It is reasonable to have doubts for ordinary human beings. But the moment you are awakened, you see the Buddha. When I say you see the Buddha, you should not take it literally that you go to another realm and see the Buddha is living or sitting there. What it means, you dhammang passati, so mang passati. Whoever sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. And that is also the statement that we have placed on above our door entrance. You can see it later if you have not read it. Whoever sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. Means you have awakened to the Four Noble Truths, have seen the Four Noble Truths, and by realizing it itself, you truly have true confidence. Buddha is truly enlightened. He is fully enlightened. Dhamma is well explained by the Blessed One. Sangha is practicing the Noble Path. You will see it clearly, precisely, to the point. There's no more doubt. So all the doubts will disappear completely. With that disappearance of the doubt, you will have unshakable faith in the Triple Gems. Your faith cannot be shaken at all. Now, as ordinary Buddhist followers, as long as you are not enlightened to this stage, as long as you are not awakened to this stage, of course your faith can be shaken. Having seen a Buddhist monk commit any wrongdoing, you might be shaken, thinking, "Ayo, how can that monk behave that way? Or how can that nun behave in that way?" But the one who is awakened to this stage will not be shaken, because he or she knows, yes, maybe that particular monk or nun has done this wrong or that wrong, but it has nothing to do with the Noble Triple Gems, because Noble Triple Gems is utterly pure. So just because ordinary human beings were to do something wrong, and it does not mean the noble community is responsible for that. So you will not have any shaken mind. Your mind will be very, very strong and have unshakable faith in the Triple Gems. You will not be shaken by seeing any other Buddhist friends, your fellow brothers and sisters, commit any other wrongdoing. And having seen them, you will not shaken your faith, because there's no way for the faith to be shaken at this stage, because you see Triple Gems clearly and precisely. Suppose, friends, one who is having this kind of strong conviction, unshakable faith. Now someone were to come to you and say, "I give you $1 billion and plenty of women and men and houses or whatever luxuries you want. You give up Triple Gems." That is impossible. Ordinary human being, ordinary follower of the Buddha who is not awakened to this stage, might give up Triple Gems and take this one, what is called the $1 billion and all the luxuries and sensual pleasures, but not the one who is awakened to that stage. This is the difference, because the moment you are awakened, your faith cannot be shaken. The reason is, it is no more faith, it is direct seeing. So, you will not have any doubt. When doubt disappears in the Triple Gems, then you will have unshakable conviction, unshakable faith. Thirdly, you will clearly see the Noble Eightfold Path is the only path that leads to awakening. Nothing else. So you will not grasp any rites and rituals, thinking that they will lead to enlightenment. You will not engage in rites and rituals, thinking that they will lead to enlightenment. Remember, the Buddhist rites and rituals that we have adopted here, for example, we pay respect to the Buddha, bow down, we offer light, incense, and flowers, fruits, we have Buddhist ceremonies. But we, by doing all these things, no one will be enlightened. We are very clear about it. We do all these things as part of devotional practice because it helps us to develop our faith, confidence in the Enlightened One. It will keep us rooted in the Triple Gems. And these actions are meritorious actions. They will purify our mind and they bring a lot of blessings to ourselves and others. So we engage in these devotional practices, what you can label as Buddhist rites and rituals, but these are not going to lead you to enlightenment. The one who is awakened to this stage clearly see the difference between these activities and the Noble Eightfold Path, and he will still engage in these activities because it is not wrong grasping, it is right grasping. So now I will make this point very clear here. By paying homage to the Buddha, by offering flowers, incense and lights, if you believe by that action alone you will be enlightened, this is wrong grasping. But by offering flowers, incense and bow down to the Buddha and engaging in these activities, if you believe that it helps you to calm down your mind, it helps you to have faith in the Triple Gems, it helps you to purify your mind, it helps you to produce wholesome qualities of your mind, this is right understanding, this is right grasping. So the way that you grasp it can be right or wrong. And silabbata paramasa here also means clinging to precepts. Suppose by observing 5 precepts alone you can be enlightened, and if you believe so, this is wrong grasping. By following 5 precepts alone you cannot be enlightened. By following 5 precepts you can have moral conduct, that's all. You can be born in a pleasurable, favorable realm. But by following 5 precepts alone, you cannot be enlightened. There can be a monk or a nun who follows 311 precepts for or 227 precepts for the monks, nuns, for both groups. And suppose there's a monk or nun who follow all these precepts to that extent. It does not mean that monk or nun is enlightened. Just because you follow the precept does not mean that you are enlightened. And if you believe so, by following these precepts I will be enlightened, that is wrong grasping. Precepts are there for you to train your behavior, and precepts help you to have moral conduct. But the base on moral conduct, you still need to develop your mind, samadhi. Then you still need to develop panya, wisdom. Then only we can be enlightened. So if any human being cling to these precepts, thinking by following precepts alone I will be enlightened, this is wrong grasping. But if any human being, follower of the Buddha, understand by following these precepts I can develop my moral quality, and this is right understanding, right grasping. So this is what we mean by wrong grasping of rites and rituals and precepts. So the moment you are awakened to this first stage, all these 3 will disappear. You will have unshakable confidence in the Triple Gems. There are many discourses where Buddha talks about this 3 main terror with high praise. This is just one of them, but there are many other discourses also the Buddha talks about high praise about the person who is awakened to the first stage, and this is a stage that we all can try to be awakened. It's a possible state, it's a possible target, in fact. In the time of the Buddha, as well as even today, there are hundreds and thousands of lay followers of the Buddha who are awakened to this stage. There are hundreds and thousands of monks and nuns who are awakened to this stage. These people are everywhere. And when you are in that stage, you will know it clearly by yourself. You do not have to wait somebody else to come and knock your head and say, hey, you are in this stage. Because you know it, you see it, you clearly comprehend it. And the Buddha says, becoming a Sri Mentorer is better and greater and worth than becoming a king, better than going to the heaven, or better than becoming a lord to entire sentient existence. As the Buddha's own words, Pathavya eka rajyena saggassa gamanenava sabba lokadi pachyena sota patti palang varang. So, becoming a Sri Mentorer is superior and greater and beneficial than becoming a king, better than going to the heaven, and better than becoming a great a king to entire sentient existence. What is the reason? The reason has been mentioned in Raja Sutta. The Buddha says, these kings, ministers, these emperors, no doubt they enjoy great joy, luxury, yes, having done meritorious deeds. After the death, they might appear in the heavenly world. They enjoy heavenly bliss and happiness. But there's no guarantee that they will not be fallen. They will not be born in lower realm. There's no guarantee that these people who are enjoying these sensual pleasures and great power, glory, name and beauty, either in human realm or divine realm, that there's no guarantee that they will not appear in the animal realm or ghost realm or hells or lower realms. This is the reason Buddha said that the moment you are awakened, this guarantee is there. So in this particular sutta, Buddha talks about six benefits. So I'm going to briefly explain these six benefits. The first benefit is, one is fixed in the good Dhamma. What does it mean by the term good Dhamma? The term good Dhamma is used to mean the four noble truths and related teachings. Whatever the teachings related to Four Noble Truths, whatever the teachings lead you to realize the Four Noble Truths, and this is the true Dhamma. So, the Dhamma comes under the labels of Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, Three Marks of Existence, Five Aggregates of Clinging, Dependent Origination, Seven Factors of Enlightenment, so on and so forth. All these Dhamma which have been labeled under 37 requisites of enlightenment can be labeled under good Dhamma, true Dhamma, because these are the teachings directly link you with the Four Noble Truths. So, good Dhamma here means Four Noble Truths. The Sri Mentorer, for the first time in his life, has been awakened to the Four Noble Truths. He clearly sees the Four Noble Truths. This is why he is known as awakened. So, he is fixed in this true Dhamma means when he sees the Four Noble Truths for himself, he also has the great confidence, the fully enlightened one, the Buddha, and his teachings and the Sangha members. So he is fixed in the true Dhamma and he will not be deviated from the Triple Gems. There's no way for that person to deviate from the Dhamma. So fixed in the direction to be awakened. That is why it is called he is fixed in the good Dhamma. Second, he is incapable of decline. What does it mean? He is already awakened to the first stage. The one who is awakened to the first stage will not go back to sleep. There's no way for him to go back to sleep. Means ignorance will not take any roots. Eventually, ignorance will disappear. Suppose, friends, now we all are, imagine that we all are sleeping in the mid of the night, 12 o'clock. One of us awaken and happen to see some of the people are grinding the teeth, some people are talking, you know, some people are sleepwalking. And the one who is awakened can see all these people. But those people who are sleeping, they do not know, of course. So, suppose another human being were to be awakened, that human being can see another one who is already awakened. So enlightened ones, those who are awakened, can understand each other, see each other, but not the sleeping ones. But the ones who are awakened, it is not their nature to go back to the sleep, and they are bound to be fully awakened. So like in a dark night, when you are walking through a narrow road, suppose in the sky, all of a sudden, a lightning arises. For a brief second, entire area became illuminated. For the first time you happen to see, yes, there is a tree, there is a river, there is a mountain. For the first time you see it, even though this lightning disappears, so the darkness is there, but your experience cannot be forgotten. So even though you are walking in the darkness, you still see, yes, there is a tree, there is a river. So you see it for the first time. Similarly, the one who is awakened for the first time, see the Four Noble Truths. And the moment you are seeing the Four Noble Truths, you are incapable of falling back. Another meaning of this is, incapable of decline means, you are incapable of doing heinous crimes. It is possible, of course, you might still do wrong things. Possible, because you are not fully enlightened. You still have defilements. So it is possible you might do some wrong things, but not major wrongdoings, not heinous crimes. That is impossible for one who sees the truth. And that is another meaning. And another meaning of the incapable of decline means you will never go back to the ordinary human states, but you are bound to be fully awakened. Means not decline but progress. As the Buddha pointed out, the one who is awakened to this stage is guaranteed that he will be fully awakened within 7 lifetime. Within 7 lifetimes, he will be fully awakened. So, what it means, of course, you do not need to wait for 7 lives, but within shortest lifetime, or even in this life itself, you can be fully awakened. You will never decline or fall back. Third one, one suffering is delimited. It means, now as ordinary human beings, we are moving from realm to realm. We are fortunate to be human beings in this life, and it is possible moving forward. Of course, if you do not uphold the righteousness, if you do not uphold the human qualities, and it is also possible, depending on our karmic forces, that might be born even in the lower realms, like animal realms or ghost realms. And once you are born in lower realms, it's very, very difficult for you to achieve the human status or divine status, because it's a very difficult situation to be achieved. So in this long run of cycle of existence, we can undergo a lot of pain and sufferings. The one who is awakened to the first stage is guaranteed that he will be fully enlightened in the shortest period of the time, or within someone's lifetimes. And not only that, he will be born as a human being or divine being. He is completely free from being born in a lower realm. This is one of the highest benefits. Extreme enterer will not be born in a lower realm, and he will be born either as a human being or divine being. Because of that, and as well as he is bound to be fully enlightened within seven lifetime, his suffering is limited. In Nakka Sikha Sutta, we come across Buddha takes a little bit of dust, soil, to his fingernail and show it to the monks and asked, "Monks, what is greater, this little bit of dust at the tip of my fingernail or the great earth?" So of course the monk said, "This is nothing, cannot be compared." Buddha said, "It is so." In the similar way, the stream enterer has discarded suffering, and that suffering which has discarded is compared to the great earth, but the suffering that he has to undergo is like little bit of dust at my fingernail. So this nothing to be compared. It means he has let go the mass of suffering, and he has only a little bit of suffering to undergo, and he will soon discard that as well. Okay, number 4, one comes to possess knowledge not shared by the others. This is another benefit. A stream enterer will have a kind of knowledge which cannot be shared with the others. What does it mean? It means ordinary human beings and a stream enterer, even though they live together in the same sitting, their thinking and their way of seeing things are completely different, and their understanding is different. Since their understanding and their seeing is different, since they perceive the world in a different way, their behavior is also different. So this person has unshared knowledge because he is awakened to the Four Noble Truths, the others are not. So if we were to take the example again, the sleeping people, and among the sleeping ones, those who are awakened, so awakened ones have got unshared knowledge with the sleeping ones. The one who saw the demography, the environment through the plants and trees, through the lighting of the thunder or whatsoever, and has got incomparable knowledge with those who did not see it. A kind of knowledge, a kind of understanding which is incomparable, unshared with common human being. This is what it means. Simply, it is the realization of the Four Noble Truths in deeper sense of the world. Number 5, one has clearly seen the causations. This is another remarkable benefit. What does it mean? It means, as ordinary human beings, we usually react to the situations. For example, we usually react to the situations. This is ordinary nature of the human mind. But those who are awakened, they see the cause of the conditions. We react to the present condition, present situation, but the awakened human beings to this stage, they rather than reacting to the present situation, they see it in a deeper level, its cause. For example, we as ordinary human beings might be carried away by our own defilements. When anger, hatred, jealousy arise, we are carried away by them. We might react based on these. When anger arises, we might shout at somebody. When jealousy arises, we might react in such a way. Our face might change. Our behavior might change. And we will react to the situation. But the one who is awakened to this stage will see these defilements directly. So they, rather than reacting to the situation, they will see the cause of it. Just to give you an example, suppose somebody were to look at you with the daggers in his eyes, with angry face. At that very moment, of course, as ordinary human beings, we also might react with anger. We also might look at that person with daggers in our eyes. Correct? This is ordinary way. But in such a case, this human being who is awakened will look at this person who look at him with the daggers in eyes, not that person, but the defilements. And he will clearly see his anger, his defilements, his frustration, his fear, his suffering. So he might, you poor thing, this one is having so much suffering. So rather than reacting with anger, he might have compassion. This is the difference, means he will see the cause of it. When somebody react, so the ordinary human beings will react to the conditions and situations, but the one who is awakened will see the cause of it. This is a wonderful thing if we can achieve. In other terms, his mindfulness is so strong and he can see his own defilements and he can see the defilements of the others. In unpleasant situations, when he come across these kind of conditions, and he clearly can see his own defilements, how they are rising, and he also can see the defilements of the others, so he can see the causes of them, so he can manage the situation better and react in a positive way and wholesome way. Number six, combination both. A combination of both causes and conditions. One has clearly seen causally arisen phenomena. It means at this stage, of course, in deepest sense of the word is known as paticca samuppada, condition arisen. So why things are happening, and he will see things, the causal conditions and their nature. In other words, he will see the first noble truth and second noble truth. Suffering and cause of it. In human relationships, he will see suffering as well as cause of suffering and its end and path. So in every situation, whether he reads a paper or whether he draws or whether he watches television or whether he engages a conversation with another human being, he will see the Four Noble Truths in day-to-day life. Four Noble Truths is to be seen everywhere. So this human being who is awakened to the first stage can see the causal link of sufferings and defilements. So these are the great benefits of a human being who is awakened to the first stage. However, the awakening of the first stage, even though it is not the full realization, has got these remarkable benefits. And as I pointed out, Buddha has spoken with so much praise about this human being. And he is included among the Aryas, means noble ones, awakened human beings. So they can be among the lay followers of the Buddha, and they also can be among the ordained followers of the Buddha. Okay, I think this is enough as a sutta discussion.